Great. Hi, guys. I was reminded in worship when it was mentioned about one day when we will be with God, worshiping Him night and day, day and night. Think about that day, man, before then, that we're going to stand before God. And what a big day that will be, where we will need to give account for our lives. And I was just encouraged by this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 to 11. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Father, thank you that you have not destined us for wrath. But thank you, Father, that through Jesus, you have destined us to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. God, we pray and we ask that you would help us, that as we look to your word, your spirit will speak to us, help us, guide us, to help ourselves and also one another. Amen. What a great series we are in at the moment. For those that don't know, we are in a series where we're speaking about that we are woven together, man, that we are not individuals in our own islands, in our own corners, but that we are a body, that we are part of one another, and we will be going on this morning on that, of looking how are we woven together and how can we help one another to be in this body. Man, God is sovereign. He is in full control, and our sovereign God has it so that we have responsibilities to bear. God has given us responsibilities that in our responsibilities, when we walk in them, the glory of God is shown. I think about how God helps us in our responsibilities to show Him. I think about Paul. He's so encouraged, and he thinks about the church, Yeah, he speaks to the church in Rome and he says that he is satisfied about them. Let's go to Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, full with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Man, God wants to help us this morning. And so in this series, we've been looking at Ephesians 4, and so this is a passage of scripture that we've looked at a few times as a body, Ephesians 4, how God has helped us, and we will be looking at Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to verse 16. So if you have your Bibles here, please do open Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Man, we're going to look today how we're going to continue to build ourselves up, how we join together every joint. And that's not only Jesus joining us together, it is Him ultimately, but it's Him through us. It's Him helping us. As we spoke about last week about the individual gifts on our lives and how we help one another, we just even see the giftings coming through in verse 11, where it says that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and the teachers were not given so that they may be on a pedestal and that we may look at them and go, how great they are. No, no, no. The reason for that, and we know this, is to equip the saints. Who is the saints? That's us. That's all of us for the building up of the body. And so that's us, man. That's our job. That's our gig. Building up the body of Christ. And so God does it, but He does it through us. It's not solo. It's not me, myself, and I. It's me, you, and everybody else that's in this body and is born again. And how do we do this? We do this in verse 15 by speaking the truth in love. That we're encouraged to go on and not be longer children that are tossed to and fro by waves of doctrine and by deceitful schemes and human cunning, but that we may grow into mature manhood. And what is that? Verse 13 says, to the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. And so that's the goal. That's the goal of this. The goal is not to sit together and going like, okay, we're holy, now we're done. No, no, no. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so that's our goal, to see God. Our goal is not to just be pure and then like, great, we're pure, now we can go home. No, no, we want to see God. I think about the scripture in Hebrews that says that we should practice peace, man, and holiness. And without these, no one will see God. And so holiness and peace is not an end in itself, but it leads us to seeing God. And we need to keep that in the front of our minds, man, that we want to see God. That we don't end up going along trails of satisfying ourselves or on tracks of personal development. Going like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to practice my gifts because at the end of the year, something to add to my vision board, or I've marked that, or I've crossed that. That's great. If you have that aim, that's amazing. But that's not the big end in itself. The end in itself is to be in the body, to practice our gifts for the good of one another. There's another translation that says that when we grow up, man, in this maturity, that we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. And so, man, I just think about this world and how the world wants to trick us into thinking about these lies. Perhaps these lies that we can do this alone. The lies that says that I can do it on my own. It's me and Jesus. But when we read Ephesians 4, we see it's not actually just me and Jesus. It's me, Jesus helping me and you all together to grow up into mature manhood that is resembling him. Just the other day, man, just in resembling him and living in the peace that he has for me and the joy that he has for me, I totally threw it away. We had come, and after community, somebody came to me and they asked, oh, what are you guys going to do now, myself, my wife? And I said, no, we're going now to my parents' house because we're going to go shower there because we don't have water at home. And so context, we live in Lorraine. For that time, it was about 3 days or so that there was no water. And then this person, so I'm saying this person because I didn't check with this person beforehand to share the story, so I don't want to expose them, although I'm exposing actually myself. This person asked, well, why isn't there water? And in my sinful heart, I said, because of incompetence, that's why. And in that moment, I didn't think anything bad of it, man. But when we head to my parents' house and I was in the shower, yes, the Holy Spirit just put his press that on that thing and showed me how that didn't honor him. Verse encourages us to speak the truth in love. But when we're not speaking the truth in love, it's actually not what God has for us. Just reminded, like, yeah, Lord, thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me to live according to the standard, because in myself, I would justify myself going, well, service delivery, deliver the service. I pay for the service. But God's goal is much higher than mine. And I'm just so thankful that how the Holy Spirit helps me to live accountable, to say that I want to live like Jesus. I want to live in the way and how he designed it for me to live. And so, man, with that, we're going to speak about accountability. How God helps us to live according to the standard that we have said we want to live to. If you know this song, please sing along. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. And so we've decided to follow Jesus. And so when we help one another in accountability and somebody prods you, remind yourself that you have decided to follow Jesus and that you have decided to sing the song now. And so, yeah, let's look at why this is God's design for us. Man, God has made this way for us and given this accountability tool to actually help us to be more like Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves, why do we need to be more like Jesus? Why is this even a goal for us to be more like Jesus? And for that, we can go to our original intention, our original design intention. We just sang a song about that we were made to worship you. We were made to sing your praise. When we go back to Genesis 1, we see that we were made to reflect Jesus. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so our best purpose, our design, is when we look like Jesus looks. When we reflect him more and more. That the intent of God of putting this great tool of accountability in our lives is to keep us aligned with the plan that he has for us. That we can know that he has the best thing for us. That because he has designed us, because he has made us, he knows better than we know of what is good for us. The world comes, like in that scripture where it speaks about that there's lies, that we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with these lies so clever that they seem like the truth. We think about the lies that says that accountability is a way of controlling people. My parents just came from a time of being in Europe and going through the different places, and the tourist, almost want to say, doctrine that's being pushed is that religion has always just been a way of controlling people. And where we see in certain media that people try to push the agenda that accountability is there to control people. That I will do it myself, that I will figure it out because I don't want anybody to control me. Or perhaps the lies that if I get church hurt, that I never have to go to church again. Because my specific experience dictates what God's plan for me is. These things can feel so much like the truth. But we need to go to the scripture and see, is this actually God's design for us? Man, just this past week, Daniel, such a legend. Daniel's my, I'm in a new comm now. There's been some shifts in our comms. And Daniel shared that we will be meeting together as men because the ladies had their own time, so the men will be together and we will just be sharing what's going on in our own lives and also to pray and see if God has a word for one another. And I was very much keen for this and I went consenting to this plan of Daniel's. And it was so amazing, just guys just sharing about what God is doing in their lives. Just as each guy is sharing about their failures, but also their successes, just how God, I can know that God loves this, man. That as we speak into one another's lives, God loves this. And I shared about some time ago that I sat with a brother in Christ, and this brother pointed out in my life that I must check the specific genre of nonfiction books that I'm reading. And if it's actually good for me or is it confusing me? And I'll get into that later. And then I said, yeah, because I really like this specific type of books. So this is not storybooks, this is nonfiction books. I really like this, and I think it's good. And then Daniel said, yeah, you see, that's why you find it difficult, because you like it. And in my heart, like at face value, I was like, yeah. But in my heart, I'm like, Daniel, how dare you? Fully knowing that I consented to be there, that we're going to speak about this and speak into one another's lives. But man, God is so kind afterwards, going like, well, if my other brother in Christ said that, and then Daniel also says that, then maybe they are not the problem. Maybe. And I just saw the life, man, that as we live together, that as we share these things with one another about what God is doing in us, the life that comes out of this, man, just how it feels so clean, how it doesn't feel alone, that I don't have to go and almost process it on my own, feeling so in the darkness or in the, I just want to say in the night, but that when I share this with Dan, when I share this with the other guys, I'm living in the light. It feels so clean emotionally with myself, with my wife, with Daniel, with the other guys. It feels so clean spiritually, man, that not only am I connected with God, but I'm actually connected with my brothers as well. That we are being built up. Not I am being built up. We are being built up. I think about Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, which says the following, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Not to do love and good works by yourself, but how can I stir my brother or my sister up to love and good works? How can I keep them to account that when I see their lives, I'm like, there's more for you. God has more for you than what you're living in at the moment. And just the confidence of that we ought to not neglect meeting together. This is Hebrews 10, 25. It says, but encouraging one another as the day draws near. As we see the day drawing near of Jesus' return, or the day where we're going to stand before God and account for our lives, this is why we do it. This is why we meet together. We don't meet together because it's a Sunday thing and we tick this box. We meet together because we want to encourage one another. We want to consider on a day like this, how can we stir one another up to love and good works? I love in 1 John how John the Apostle actually shows how our fellowship with Jesus is linked with our fellowship with one another. How when we walk in light, actually with God, we walk in light with one another. That there's no separation in it. So let's pay attention to what's going on in 1 John 1, 5 to 7. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, that's Jesus, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see how John tricks us here. John writes, this is a joke when I say John tricks us. John does not trick us here. He has our best intentions at heart. But check what's going on here. In verse 6 it says, if we say we're fellowship with him, we lie. And then it goes on to verse 7. But when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, with who do we have fellowship? With one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So can we see two things are in the same verse? Having fellowship with one another is in the same sentence of Jesus' blood cleansing us from all sin. That's big. I'm not going to put a player of the under 13A Sunrise rugby school team with Siya Kolisi. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put people of comparable worth next to one another. Things of comparable worth, things of comparable bigness and glory and weight. And it says here that when we have fellowship with one another, that's linked in the sense of the greatness of it, the glory of it, that Jesus washing us from our sin, cleansing us, that enables us to walk with fellowship with one another. Why? Because we're in the light. Who is also in the light? Jesus. He is in the light. So as I wrap up this, I want to share a story about myself and my wife's life. So this was last year before we were married, we were dating. And so still, I am a man very much convinced that I'm right. We had a disagreement. And so because we were still dating, we couldn't fully walk this disagreement out. We actually needed people to help us because we're not in covenant yet. And so, yes, I Danelle did something. And I thought this was not on. And so I went to and submitted to her, like, can we go and speak to the people that disciple us about this? And she's yes. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go. And they're going to tell Danelle, you're wrong. Well, you can probably see where this is going. So we end up going to the people that disciple us, and we just want to bring this area into the light. I want to hear, what do you guys think about it? And I'm like, yes, this is going to be just so great for me. Those 3 hours of us disagreeing is going to be so satisfying me now, knowing that Yaku, you've been correct all this time. And so we're sharing this with them. This is with Jess and Eugene. And they're like, what do you guys think? And Jess and Eugene was like, we don't see anything wrong with it. In the sense that they don't see anything wrong with what Donnell have decided and have done. And they encouraged me to actually go and spend time with God and ask God, what does he feel about it? What does he think about it? Not what do I think about it, or what do I think Donnell ought to have done, but what does he think? And I'm just so thankful for people keeping me to account, not telling me what to do in controlling me, but going like, what does God say? What does God say? And in retrospect, I knew that they definitely knew what was cooking at that moment, which I'll get to now. But man, that next morning I went and sat with the Lord and prayed, and the Lord was actually showing me that there's like a harshness in me. There's actually like a controlling thing in me, that there's actually like a critical spirit in me. And I'm so glad that that happened. I'm so glad for that, bringing that into the light. Without that, I would have never known that I have a harshness towards me, well, in me, towards others. And I can just see the fruit of that, man. As I've walked through that, there's a verse in Colossians that says, beloved, holy and chosen one, put on compassionate hearts. And when myself and Donnell, after that engagement, I would always think, compassionate hearts, compassionate hearts, compassionate hearts. Just see the freedom that is brought in our then dating season, now marriage. Going, man, accountability has set us up for success. Accountability has blessed us to live in this. Accountability, God using accountability and other people, has helped myself and Donnell from so much heartache and so much pain that we have been, that we could sidestep because of his great. Yeah, so thank God for accountability, man, and that we are not alone. And that when we live in this light, myself and Donnell can actually not feel alone, not feel isolated. But we feel that we are living in the light, and we are. So thank God for that.